Hello the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. Welcome back. The season is nearly over, but there's so much more to talk about, more than ever, and it's the Non-League Finals Day weekend. I'm Tim Fuel, back with a bumper show of Non-League Football Talk. Unfortunately not joined this week by Dave Anderson, who's off sunning himself on a golf course somewhere, and my co-host was due to be Swampy, but due to technical issues at this end, we've not been able to connect with him. So you're stuck with me, and a host full of guests. It is a round full of guests this evening, so hopefully I can get things moving along. Well, let's get the thing started with the news this week. Let's talk managers. The merry-go-round is well underway. Last week, we spoke with Alan Dowson as he prepared his Hampton and Richmond Borough side for the National South playoff final. They lost, and then this week he's announced, along with long-term assistant Martin Tyler, as the new management appointment at Woking in their first season back in National South. And Adam Flanagan and Jamie Coyle, they're the new management team at Dartford. And Mark Stimpson, he's out of a job after the demise of Thurrock, but he's taken on the job at Waltham Abbey after Paul Joynes stepped down. Steve Watt has left Margate by mutual consent, and Nicky Ball has taken over the vacant role at Leatherhead. Up north, you then have ex-Scunthorpe United great Alexander taking the role at Salford City, and the previous incumbents Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley are back in a job popping up at Chester for next season. Simon Howarth comes in at Stalybridge Celtic, and Marcus Bignot is in at Guiseley, this time as a joint manager with Russ O'Neill. Meanwhile, Gavin Cowan is the new manager at AFC Telford United. At Northwood, they've appointed Dean Barker as their first team manager, and down at Whitehawk, Steve King has left Whitehawk by mutual consent, with Jude McDonald taking over first team duties there. Obviously, big FA Cup final on Saturday. FA doing quite a lot to try and include all clubs throughout the pyramid that have taken part in the competition this year. The official match day ball for the game will include the names of 137 players who have had a special part in this season's competition. Printed on the match day ball, those players' names to represent the 137th final. And also, the traditional FA Cup final hymn by me will be sung by fans of 14 clubs from across the football pyramid, including representatives from AC London, Bath City, Boreham Wood, Framlingham Town, Hereford, Litherland, Remica, and Truro City. Now, there's been much debate, too, about the restructuring we discussed last week. I said it didn't look too controversial at the outset, but obviously not everybody's going to be happy being shifted around between leagues and the various debates going on Twitter. I believe also Andover Town, they've withdrawn from Step 4, meaning that AFC Mansfield as the best third place on points per game during the previous season at Step 5. They have been promoted up into Step 4, and that also means a reshuffle of some of the original divisions as previously announced. I also understand that Met Police are one of the clubs that are appealing to the FA about being moved into the Southern League, out of the Isthmian League, where they've been there for decades. Their manager, Jim Cooper, he's resigned after 15 years as manager there because his home location is in Kent, and that doesn't feasibly work with the new trips that they face in the Southern League. Plenty more besides. Keep up to date with the debate on Twitter at Non-League Show, and always happy to hear about your clubs during the season and throughout the summer, where we're going to try and keep some small snippets going once we've recorded our final show next week for this season. But we will be back in August with some big news coming over the summer as well as to how that's all going to come about. But do keep listening. Remember to tell your friends and join in at Non-League Show on Twitter. Okay, so let's get to the big match of the weekend. No, not the sixth in line to the throne and the American actress, and not that Mourinho grudge match either. In fact, forget Saturday, think Sunday. It is Non-League's finals day at Wembley, and in the FA Trophy final, Bromley, who narrowly missed out on making the National League playoffs, take on Brackley Town, who were defeated in the playoff final of the National North. Two sides definitely on the way up in terms of awakening potential, with the winner on Sunday hoping to spark things onto the next level. Being the higher placed club, Bromley are probably favourites in many people's eyes. No offence intended, but that's probably not a position Bromley have ever found themselves in. Is that a hindrance, Neil Smith, manager at Bromley FC?
No, we're going to the game, all the same, prepared, obviously giving the respect to the opposition, but obviously knowing that, it's going to be a tough game and we've got to give it everything we've got, and we've done that all season and it's got us this far, and, we can't change now.
Yeah, we spoke earlier in the season about what a great season you were having, the potential there, built on a tight-knit group of players, many of them local, all working hard for the club. If you do miss out on Sunday, it's still a great season, isn't it?
It's been a fantastic season, to achieve what we've achieved this season. As I say, probably people were thinking we're one of the favourites to be in the relegation dogfight. We just missed out on the playoffs by 4 points. We've got the first round of the FA Cup, and we've got to the final of the FA Trophy. In terms of a club our size, we ticked all the boxes this year. And that's all down to the hard work of the players. They've been absolutely fantastic all season. And, come to the crescendo on Sunday, you just want them to have that one last blast and give everything they've got. Don't leave anything in the changing room. And fingers crossed, you have that little bit of luck and, we'll be going there trying to win it.
Yeah, we spoke to TJ Herbert, the producer of the Bromley Boys film the other week too, and that's based on Dave Roberts' book, which is subtitled The True Story of Supporting the Worst Football Club in Britain. Now, it's perhaps fate that a week before that premieres at Wembley, so next Thursday I think that is, you have the chance to stake a claim as the best non-league football club in Britain if you lift the trophy.
Well, that's what we're aiming for. You couldn't get many more coincidences. It's our 125th year as well, and everyone's been going on about, the Bromley Boys and what a fantastic book. Obviously, it'll be made into a film, and then, lo and behold, they have a premiere at Wembley the week after we go and play there. And it would just be, just fitting if we can win the trophy final, and then they can go and watch the film about this so-called worst team in the leagues, it just shows you how far the club's come. When you got a book about that, saying they never won a game in a season and everything else, to all of a sudden playing at Wembley.
It also shows how long it takes to make a film as well, I guess. But is now obviously the opposition, Brankley Town, they come into the game on the back of disappointment, losing in their playoff final last Sunday. But you guys, I mean, your season ended a lot longer ago. So what have you been doing? Is it even harder to kickstart that competitive edge again after such a long break?
Well, it is. Obviously, we had the disappointment against Maidenhead, just missing out on the playoffs and everything else. And then it's one of them. It's been such a hard and long, long slog of a season. We've had a lot of travelling as well. So we gave the boys a couple of days off, but literally we've been in every day. We've had a couple of behind closed doors games. And we can't thank Neil Harris at Millwall enough. He helps us out big time. We had a game against their under-23s, and then we've been training on their training facility as well, so everybody locally has really pulled together for us and given us the best opportunity. At the moment we're training down at Beckenham Town so we can get on the grass, and it's things like that really pull this great community together for Bromley Football Club. The amount of supporters that are coming, the well wishes that we're getting, we just want to make sure that we give it our best chance. And yeah, it has been difficult because you want to get them, you want to keep them on their toes, but at the same time, you don't want to go around doing too much because they end up kicking each other and stuff like that. So you're sort of wrapping them up in cotton wool and then you're blasting them as well. So it's been difficult 2.5 weeks, but like I've said, hopefully you've got everything covered going into the game on Sunday now.
And was that, Gabby, made even harder? Because, I mean, you had so many games in those last 2 months as well that you were literally bang, 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 bang. I think at least two games a week, if not three at some points. It was a busy end to the season. And then you sort of like slowed down, but you're trying to keep them up at a certain pace. Is it sort of complicated to like even training schedules and regimes and that?
We had everything planned. If we got in the playoffs, we had a diary already planned, a calendar. If we didn't make the playoffs, we had a calendar as well. So we'd already pre-planned every eventuality that could happen. As soon as we knew we weren't in the playoffs, we go revert back to the other calendar. We're going to keep them in, and you have to keep them sharp. You have to keep them concentrated. It seems like it's been forever since we actually won the semi-final to get this trip to Wembley, and this has been the longest week ever. When we started on Monday, you're waking up, you're like, it's only Thursday, and now we can't get there quick enough. We just want it to happen, and the boys are chomping at the bit. We really, really can't wait.
Now, Bromley isn't that tough a journey to Wembley on a Sunday. So what's your plan? Are you staying close to Wembley the night before?
Yeah, we're going up to a hotel on Saturday, just to be on our own, you know, just to prepare. Because you know, when you're in finals, you get a lot of phone calls from people. Can you sort us out a ticket? Can you leave me this? Can you leave me that? So we just want the players to, you know, we're getting to the hotel. Hopefully, watch the FA Cup final all together. You know, have a you know, evening meal together, to stay in together as much as we can, and just having no distractions really, so we can just solely focus on the game Sunday.
So Saturday's FA Cup final. What are the Bromley boys doing? You're watching it in case the turf rips up for that game tomorrow?
Yeah. We're going to make sure they don't turf it up. You know, make sure that the groundsmen get onto it straight away. Look, we had a day trip up there the other day on Tuesday. They were very kind and enough to show us, you know, the changing rooms and everything, just so we could, you know, get our bearings and get the excitement out and everything else. You know, the selfies, and the pitch looked immaculate then. You know, and they had just reseeded it, so. You know, it's Wembley. It's only going to be nothing but perfect. So the weather's going to be fantastic. You know, we've got a good crowd going, a fantastic support, and we just hope we can put on a show for them that they'll be proud of.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about yourself, you've been at Bromley for a while now as assistant to Mark Goldberg with the youth set up and then manager in your own right. You went to school down the road, I believe. You live locally. Are they going to make the next film about you?
I don't know about that, but... Yeah, I'm a Bromley boy. I live in Bromley. I was schooled in Bromley. My girls all go to school in Bromley. You know, so I've been right in the middle of it, and the excitement that's going on. The town's buzzing. It can't wait. So yeah, you know, for a local boy, I went to school literally across the road from the ground. We used to play our school finals and district finals at the club. So I've always known about it. I've had friends that have played there. My teacher used to be a player there. So. The connections are unbelievable, and you know, to be leading them out at Wembley, you know, your hometown club, and from where when I first come in 8 years ago to where we are now, is a totally, you know, it's a different club completely. So I'm very honoured and very privileged, and you know, there will be, you know, a bit emotional as well, because I'll have a lot of school friends that are turning up that I haven't seen in years. Teachers have, you know, got in contact with the club to tell them that they're going. So, you know, just on a personal note, it's going to be fantastic. But for the town and the club, the supporters that have, you know, travelled up north a lot in this trophy, you know, competition, this is for them. This is for them to have the, you know, the one, hopefully a day they can remember, and, you know, for the next 70 years. But no, in terms of films, I don't think it'll be about me. It won't last long.
Have you gone through in your mind about that walkthrough when you're leading them out? You know, are you going to have your hands in your pockets? Are they going to be by your side? Have you thought about these things?
I've not even thought about it. Honestly, you know, I'm just going to, you know, the moment's going to be there. You just want to savour every bit of it. I'm lucky enough to have my youngest daughter, the mascot's leading us out, so. You know, in terms of that, I just want the girls and my family to be proud of what we've achieved this year.
Yeah, we also spoke with Jack Holland this season, another Bromley lad, through and through. Is that been the key to your success? That sense of belonging, which means that to get players to go the extra mile, of just that it becomes a little bit more natural for them.
I think you're not having to demand it all the time. They've got it in them. You know, as I say, they're all, the majority of them are local boys, or, you know, they're only 15, 20 minutes away. There's not many people that are having to travel that far. So you've got that. But I think it all sort of come together. We've had a couple of trips to Spennymoor where they were cancelled. And we just wanted to keep the team spirit. And, you know, we found where the supporters had gone up there. It had been, you know, cancelled right at the last minute. We found out what bar they were in. We bought them all a pint and you know, and sort of had a drink with them to show our appreciation for what they've done to, you know, travel the country watching us.
You just told us another scene for this film, mate, that we're just...
I don't know whether it's going to be good or bad, but no, what it did, I think the supporters appreciated that we actually appreciate them, and I think that brought the team and the supporters together that little bit more. And since then, they've just backed us 100%, the supporters. And like I've said, you know, this is a day for them as well. You know, they've waited a long time. And as I say, at the beginning of the season, they probably never dreamed that we'd be at Wembley. So to be there, win or lose, is fantastic. But it's going to be a good day anyway, but you want it to be a fantastic day, and that's, you know, you're going to have to go and win it.
Yep. So Sunday, the game comes, result, whatever, but hopefully you win. Does Neil Smith go out celebrating, or are you just looking forward to an early night out now to round off the season?
No, I'm celebrating. I don't know. You know, you're in one of them. When will this ever happen again? So, again, I'll savour the moment and make sure I make the most of it, believe me.
That Wembley final appearance. Well, we wish you well, Neil. It's been fantastic. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And
Thank you so much.
The reason we love non-league are for people like you, mate. This is you know, events like this is what it's all about. So we wish you well at the weekend. And
I really appreciate that. And again, just put it out to the supporters. You know, thank them. And this is their day as much as it is for the players.
Joining Bromley at Wembley this Sunday for the FA Trophy, a man no stranger to the show and a manager at a club no strangers to big games this season. A third place finish in the National North led to defeat last week to second place Harrogate Town for the chance of promotion to the Conference National. But the league season is now over and it's FA Trophy time, and the town of Brackley is certainly excited, and I'm sure the manager Kevin Wilkin is too. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Hi there.
I'd say excited. It's probably been the most bizarre week for you and the boys, I'd imagine. Disappointment of losing the playoff final to Harrogate Town, then you get ready to play at Wembley.
Yeah, it's been a little bit strange. Like I say, the last, you know, going into the semi-final against Bradford and our season kind of, you know, going deep into what would be the close season. It's a little bit surreal, but nonetheless, it's a fantastic opportunity for us and something we're very much looking forward to.
So what are the plans? It's Thursday today, the match is Sunday. There's probably only so much training and planning you can do with the guys, isn't there?
Yeah, so obviously coming off the back of obviously the poor result against Harrogate on Sunday, we've let the lads rest all week. We'll get together tonight. We'll do a little bit of work tonight. We'll work again, you know, looking at one or two bits and pieces on Saturday, and then hopefully be fresh enough for the game Sunday. So that's pretty much the arrangement from now until the game.
And what about match day as well? Because obviously there's the FA Vars final one before you. Are you guys going to get there to watch that?
We won't. Like I say, it just kind of clashes with the preparation and what have you. So, we may just catch the tail end of it. But, because they follow fairly shortly afterwards, like, you know, and it kind of would impinge a little bit on our prep and what have you. So, we won't get a chance to see too much of the game, if any, but we'll be focusing on what we've got to try and do a bit later on.
Yeah, and obviously the first thing that players usually want to try and do when they arrive at a game is to walk out onto the pitch, and that might not be possible when you first get there. So you're then going to have these lads sat in a dressing room sort of on the biggest game of their lives. Any plans how to cope with that sort of additional stress?
Yeah, so I mean, we won't get there until sort of 2 hours before kickoff. Ordinarily, we'd be there an hour and a half. So there's a little bit of time to, you know, absorb what's going on and you know, Wembley in itself with people bussing in around the stadium. So there'll be a chance to, as I say, take plenty of that on. We've already had a visit to Wembley. We've had a look around the changing rooms and one thing and another. They've been kind enough to accommodate us and allow us to do that. So we took that opportunity a few weeks back just to get as familiar as, you know, with the surrounding as we possibly can. It won't totally recreate what the day is likely to be all about, but it'll give us a little bit of hopefully a head start, and, you know, the players know the environment they're going into, and, you know, if that helps them to settle, you know, the nerves and what have you, it's definitely a good thing to do.
And Andy, how do you keep your mind focused, especially this week? I mean, I guess most of the others that you normally deal with in football, they've already packed their bags and they're off on holiday already, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those. I think football's a 12-month game now. It's not where it stops at any stage for any club, and certainly sort of reaching down into our level. You get a short break, but ordinarily, I think kind of at this stage, I'd have been away and pinching hopefully a week's holiday or so. But that'll have to wait until, and it will wait until, you know, obviously after Sunday now. It's nice. The club's getting a bit of attention. There's plenty of interest in the game, which is fantastic for the town and for the club. And likewise, it's a great opportunity for us to look forward to, and something that we're only too aware doesn't come around too often. And we want to try and make the most of it.
And it has been a tough season. Tough competition as well. I think to get to the final, you beat Sutton United, was it Stockport County, and then Willstone in the two-legged semis. And as well as the playoffs and your league as well and everything. I guess it's Wembley, so everybody's got enough in them for one game. But how do you overcome those tired minds, tired legs, and that sort of thing?
I think that's really, it's a great question, because that is the biggest reservation that I have, looking at the way that we performed on Sunday, and that's not taking anything away from Harrogate for 25 minutes. That, there's not a lot in the game. We could then, make a poor decision and concede a penalty, give another opportunity to them. And I just felt off the back of the Harrogate game, we looked tired, certainly mentally, and one or two looked tired physically as well. And that would be my biggest concern going into Wembley. And as you say, my biggest hope is that the fact that it's Wembley, we're taking 5,500 fans there. That galvanises our team and just gives them that little bit of lift and extra bit of adrenaline we need to go and perform to the levels that we pretty much have most of the season. And if we can, get to those levels again, I'd like to think we'll give Bromley a good game. But I'm not going to lie, it's a concern for me. But we have to get on with it. I'm not going to be able to change too much about it now. And as I say, I wouldn't change this opportunity for anything. So I'm not feeling sorry for myself. Just a little bit mindful. I just want us to, go and play the game that we're capable of. If we do, it'll make for a good game.
Yeah, back in March, we spoke to Janine Butters, your managing director there, about how big those semi-finals were. And, I think there were a couple of coaches going, obviously, now the ground capacity, I think, at Brackley's, around 3,000, 4,000? You say you're going to take 5,500 there to Brackley. Does that give an extra lift or an extra bit of pressure as well to the players?
I hope it's an extra lift, yeah. I mean, the players will put a bit of pressure on themselves anyway. But you hope it's, seeing those people, families, friends, and people turning out in, such strong numbers for us. The town is only sort of 15,000 population. And to be taking as many as that, we never thought that was possible. We thought we'd probably take 2,500-3,000 people. But to get to these, these levels, it's just kind of shows how the town's bought into, what we've done and what we're trying to do. And as I say, it's important that both myself and the players realise that, we want to give those fans something to shout about and hang on to. And that'll be the challenge. But it's as I say, it's fantastic for everybody. It's a dream for everyone concerned with the club, and one we, as I say, we want to make the most of.
Yeah, and obviously we'll gloss over your last appearance at Wembley with a bigger club like Wrexham. But what's it like being part? You've obviously been in that Wembley atmosphere with a big club like that. But as a club like Brackley, where you say, even the town's so small, is it extra magical to play a game at Wembley with a club like that?
I think it is, because, I think with the greatest respect, probably people would expect the likes of a club the size of Wrexham to be making, these sort of appearances, and expecting them to be at the forefront of these competitions. But I'm sure when, people look at the competition and take it right back to the very early stages, I don't think anybody would dug us out and said, these have got a great chance of getting to the final. So yeah, it does. It kind of makes it extra special. We're not, we don't have a great football history as such. I know the club's 128 years old, but hasn't been
a
up there.
Sleeping giant, isn't that what they call it?
I'm not sure we're ever going to be a giant, but hopefully we're waking up from a sleep in these last sort of couple of seasons. But this is the sort of highest the club has performed, and we desperately wanted to get into the conference national. Unfortunately, that's not quite happened, but we've had a couple of seasons of progression and some really good cup runs over the last couple of seasons. Beating Gillingham, narrowly losing out to Blackpool in the FA Cup was great fun. Getting to the quarters of this competition and losing to the winners in York last, and we that really hurt us, because we played very well on the day and felt then that we could have gone further in the competition.
it wasn't to be. But I think, you know, that experience has given us that extra little bit of resolve and understanding of what's required. And as I say, you know, I think hopefully you learn from your experiences, and it's just given us that that extra little bit of understanding how to get to the final. And well, hopefully, you know, further than that if we can.
Well, yeah, whatever the result on Sunday, you've set your task, your bar very high for next season, haven't you? What you've achieved this season, and then you look at that National North again next season. It seems to be getting harder every year.
Yes, I think it is. You look at the size of the club that's in it, and the amount of full time sides there are in it, and it certainly won't get any easier. And probably, you know, off the back of the the solid season that we've had this season, we may lose some players, so it may be that, you know, we have to take a period of sort of consolidation. That's not to say I'm not hungry to continue to do well, and you know, it's as you rightly point out, it's incredibly tough, the league, and you know, making certain change arounds and losing certain players that are on that upward curve within their career is something that naturally happens to sides that have been successful. So there will be a period of transition, I'm sure, off the back of this season, but the size of that transition remains to be seen. Clearly I want to try and keep all of those good players on board and continue to drive us forward and try and complement that with other good players like we have done this season. But that's a challenge. People, you know, we've had lots of scouts at our games watching lots of the players, and keeping hold of the good players is a manager's biggest challenge, I think. Players have enjoyed the environment, they've enjoyed the football, and want to now cement that with a bit of silverware if it's all possible.
Well, and hopefully, you know, even, there'll be plenty of neutrals there at the game on Sunday. Two great footballing sides wanting to play the game the right way and put on an entertaining game on Sunday.
That's the hope. I've had the opportunity to go and watch Bromley, and they are exactly that. You know, they're a good, solid footballing side. You know, they've got lots of scope within their side, some really, really good players, both individually, and they come together collectively as a very strong side. They're unlucky to miss out on the playoffs in the Conference National, and that's, you know, would give an indication of obviously how strong they can be. There's a real depth about their squad, which we perhaps don't have, but you know, these are the things that we've faced all season and got on with and dealt with pretty well. And if we can do the same on Sunday, as you say, who knows what might happen.
Well, we wish you luck with it, I'm sure we'll talk again next season, Kevin. And you might even have the FA Trophy tucked under your arm by that stage.
I very much hope so. But thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Okay, so Sunday is non-league finals with a plural day. So before the FA Trophy, had for many clubs over the years to build success, and the two clubs in Sunday's final will be hoping to do just the same. Stockton Town take on Thatcham Town in a 12:15 PM kickoff at Wembley. And joining us on the line again is Thatcham Town boss Danny Robinson. Welcome back, Danny.
Yeah, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, good. I mean, what about you? What an exciting weekend ahead in the Royal County of Berkshire. I mean, have you left some corpse for the newlyweds? Some comps down there? Just in case they are heading off on their honeymoon a bit later, and they could come along to the game on Sunday morning. Yeah.
Harry's actually a season ticket holder at Waterside Park, so we like to think that he'll be there for the game. So, but yeah, no, it is. Excitement's building up. Like I say, running around very, very busy at the minute, doing the last final preparations and everything like that. But just got to soak it all in and enjoy the moment.
I was going to ask, how will you prepare? You know, will you get a chance to watch the FA Cup final together, for example, Saturday night?
Yeah, we will do. Yeah, we're training. We're leaving tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. We're going up to Sellers Park. Crystal Palace have been brilliant and let us train at Sellers Park tomorrow morning. And then we do our Wembley walk around on Friday afternoon, back to the hotel. And then on Saturday, the fans have got a bit of free time, a bit of downtime to themselves. And then, yeah, we're all getting together to watch the FA Cup final together.
So at Selhurst Park, I think you've been training at Reading FC this week as well. Is that all part of making this as magical as possible for everybody involved?
That's exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. We're trying to make this week that we can remember for the players, especially because they're the ones that obviously put their bodies on the line to get us there and everything like that. So it is. It's all about making memories, you know, and that's what football's about, isn't it? So, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I know the club's done their utmost to make this week more memorable than others, and they're certainly living up to that.
So is it suits or track suits for the day then?
Track suits. I'll be in a suit. I've just literally got to go to the dry cleaners. That's my next job. And get my suit out of the dry cleaners. And but no, the lads, I did pose a question. The club were happy to supply both. But I think it's just all about being comfortable on the day as well. So we've all got brand new Macron track suits.
Very nice. And what about that 12:15 kickoff? Does that sort of affect what you can do in the morning and you know, maybe the way the players will prepare themselves?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I think if they offered us 9 o'clock, it wouldn't matter to play at Wembley. You know, it's absolutely brilliant. We'll prepare as professionally as we can do. Obviously, breakfast in the morning, then the coach will leave from the hotel to Wembley. So, no, I think I can't imagine many of the players getting much sleep on Saturday night. But, it is. We'll be as professional as we can be.
And Waterside Park, your capacity down at Thatcham, there's something like 1,500 people. How many will be going to Wembley from Thatcham on Sunday?
I think we're edging towards 5,000 at the minute, I think. I haven't seen the numbers for a week or so. They've been brilliant. Every person you bump into Thatcham, everybody turn around saying that I'll see you at Wembley. We'll all go in. You know, I've got 20 mates going and, you know, friends, family, you know. Absolutely unbelievable. The club's done so well to sell the tickets that the FA have given us, and obviously people have gone online on the FA line and bought tickets as well. So yeah, no, it's hoping, fingers crossed, we're edging towards 5,000, but you know, all the support's going to be, you know, muchly appreciated.
And there's a football club, how do you keep that excitement and support going on into next season?
With the run that we've had, our attendances have gone up and up and up. You know, we finished the season off with a friendly at home to Basingstoke Town, and we had over 280 fans there. And you know, it's got bigger and bigger as the season progressed. And you know, the excitement. We have a great affiliation with Thatcham Town Harriers, where the kids come down in their shirts and everything like that. They bring their parents, and we try and make it an enjoyable experience. And yeah, we just want to keep that momentum going. You know, like any limelight you get in non-league football, you have to take it. As you know, people work so tirelessly behind the scenes to try and obviously keep the football club running. It's all about getting people down here, and which I'm sure they will, and continue to follow us.
You mentioned the season you've had. I mean, it's not a bad season, is it? Was it the Hellenic League title? Was it 3 cup finals, including the Vars? And then there was that little unbeaten run you went on. What was that? What was that, 40 games, was it?
To win the league, 40 games, pretty much, and to get to the Vars finals and that. It's 38 wins and two draws. That was a record for me, I must admit, and I think it's a record for the football club as well. But we lost our two previous cup finals leading up to the Vars. But I take responsibility for that, obviously. As a manager, I wanted to have a little look. I used the 2 finals, obviously, leading up to the biggest one of all. The players of every player, it's given me a headache, I must admit. But you know, it is. We're all geared up all for this week, and now I always say Wembley doesn't remember losers. We want to try our hardest to win it on Sunday.
And obviously, those 2 cup finals, we'll forget about that. I mean, anyway, because you signed a new 2-year deal this week as well.
I did, yeah. No, there's the first Thatcham manager ever to be put on a contract, which is an unbelievable feeling, and one that I'm very, very proud of. Football club has backed me completely, and stood by us, and it is. You know, I've always said that my future's not important. I'll be here until the powers of be that say, you know, no more, or something else comes along the lines. But it's a great feeling to have security, one in football, which is, I think, is very important for a manager. It's hopefully, fingers crossed, we can continue to progress this football club.
And next season as well, you know, with the restructure, you're winning the Hellenic at step 5. So the Southern League West awaits you, and some clubs that you know a bit about there as well.
Yeah, it is. You know, I used to manage at Winchester City, so I know Winchester very well. Managed against Blackford and Langley, Moneyfields, Tottenham, Wimborne. So, you know, there's a few clubs there that I've been to previously before. All great football clubs in their own right. You know, I'd love going down Wimborne, I must admit. never won there, but I love going down there just for the hospitality and everything, and everybody's so friendly. But yeah, no, we're very much looking forward to it. It's a journey that we want to take together. It's a league that we don't want to stand still in. I think the last time that Patrick was in the Southern League, it kind of just existed, and that's not good enough for me. You know, I want to go and give it the best shot as I physically can. You know, with a good group of players that we have now, a couple of additions over the summer as well, hopefully, fingers crossed, and we'll try and give the next level a good go as well.
So this big game on Sunday, you know, what happens if you win? There's another game straight after. I'm guessing the guys won't be hanging around to watch that. Well, either way, they probably won't want to hang around to watch that. Are there any plans for Sunday after the game?
Yeah, obviously we have to do all the bits and pieces afterwards, like the FA have asked us to do. So we have our after-match meal and everything like that. That has to take place in the change room. Then there's some media duties. Then we get to meet our friends and family in the Bobby Moore suite afterwards. And then, yeah, it's a coach back to Fatcham. Club's opening up. And hopefully, fingers crossed, it will be a celebratory party afterwards.
And then once Sunday's done and dusted, result either way, what does Monday bring? Is that a day off? You've been running around all week doing various errands. You can tell everybody all about them. But what does Monday bring? Is it holiday time for you now, or are you already looking to sign those new players for next season?
Yeah, Monday is you've got it off from work. You know, my work's really good. I've hardly ever been there this week, as you probably can imagine. But Monday's a day off, so a little bit of relaxation. I think the lovely wives put us in we're going to a spa or something like that. But no doubt I'll be on the phone to the new players and to the existing players and everything like that, trying to get that sorted. And then, you know, I always work. There's no stopping, even when I go abroad on holiday with the family. I don't stop working, so with football, so you know, I don't really have time off. But that's how I am. That's how I always will be. And it is the next couple of weeks is going to be vital for this football club. Now we know what league we're in and how we're going to attack it. So, but like I said, there will be a couple of new faces that will be coming in, and there'll be a couple of faces that will be going out. That's just the nature of the beast. But yeah, my work will never stop, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sure you'll be super hectic up until Sunday. We wish you well in that FA Vars final, and it's always great to talk to you, Danny, so we appreciate your time. Best of luck.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So up against Danny Robinson's Fatcham Town, the Stockton Town of the Northern League. They finished sixth in their division, their first season of Step 5, and ended the season in a rich vein of form. Before their semi-final, we spoke to Stockton Town chairman Martin Killaby, who admitted it was never really a job he was after. Let's see if watching his club at Wembley has changed his mind. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I mean, how are the preparations going there?
Yeah, well, we think we're on top of things, but there's a hell of a lot to organise for a volunteer-led club, as would be the same for Thatcham, you know. So it's been a full-on 6 weeks, 7 weeks since we got the final, but I think we're as prepared as we can be, you know. So the lads are buzzing for it, the social media's lit up, the town's right up for it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to the weekend now.
And I imagine you're already beaming with pride, but have you been chairman now for, is it 10 years?
Yeah, yes, I'm in my 11th year now, so, yeah, it's been a 10 years of remarkable progress and some real highs and lows, and obviously the biggest high is probably yet to come with this weekend, yeah, just appearing at Wembley, never mind, you know, if we're lucky enough to win.
Did you ever dream that you'd see your team out appearing at Wembley?
No, you know, and I've said this a few times, you know, it's never once entered our thoughts, even sort of once we got past West Auckland, you know, we were still three or four games away from getting to the final, and you're just hoping for a good run, really. But it's ironic, you know, last year we went on our end-of-season trip away, and the players went to Dublin, and we got up on the Sunday morning feeling a bit groggy and forcing the first pint into yourselves, as you do, the next day, and South Shields, Cleethorpes, Vars final was on, and we're taking a passing interest in it. South Shields, a local club, and, you know, not once did anybody say, oh, we can get there next year, or we can do that, and the ironic thing is, you know, this year, it's going to be us.
It was subconsciously planted in your brains. That's what it was.
Yeah, well, maybe the Guinness worked its way in. Yeah. But it just shows you in football, you know, anything's possible, isn't it?
But it is, and you know, you've obviously got a life outside of the football club.
I used to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably did until about 6 weeks ago, definitely.
Yeah.
But do you think the people outside of the game respect more what you've done now that you can say that you're going to a Wembley final? Do they understand it a bit better?
I'm not too sure, really. You know, you get a lot of people now who recognise the football club is obviously a serious concern when it can get to Wembley. You know, whether people fully realise what goes into running a semi-professional non-league team, I still probably don't think they would understand. You know, a lot of people have said, "I know you'll be busy and you'll know you'll be this," and I look at it and I think, you don't really know how busy it is at all. So
there's probably bits that you haven't even admitted to yourself at how you don't understand, really. You know, I've been involved in the football club for, 21 years, and every day something else comes out of the woodwork, or you know, something that you hadn't foreseen. And when it's a part-time voluntary role, people just don't realise the impact on your life, do they?
No, they don't. And Stockton Town's a big club. We've got 22 teams in total, you know, and we're planning for next season to increase that by another two or three. You know, there isn't just one team to look after. There's 22 with community activities, school activities, holiday clubs, community sessions all going on. It's quite a task. Yeah.
And I often bore people with my sliding door moments in football stories. You know, my favourite is that in the 2008-09 season, my club, Hayes and Yeddy United, they were promoted via the playoffs to the then Conference Premier. Bournemouth were that season 10 minutes away from dropping into non-league and were saved by a goal by Steve Fletcher that gave them 3 points instead of one, and that secured their football league status. So we were 10 minutes away from Bournemouth playing Hayes and Yeading United the following season. And that was a decade ago. Now we sit in step four of the non-league pyramid, and Bournemouth are enjoying the Premier League again. I mean, you've had similar close shaves, I believe, at your club, like the new ground, all the facilities. That was so close to not getting approval. It's allowed you to build all those teams and get to Wembley and things like that. It's just, you know, a roll of a dice, and it could have been very different.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've just been in the new ground 2 years now, and you know, we'd won the Wearside League for the fourth year running, and the ground inspection literally came down to it had to be passed that day, you know, and we had to juggle things about and make things work in our favour to pass the ground inspection, you know, with temporary toilets in place and one thing and another. So that ground inspection could quite easily have gone a different way for us, you know. And so, you know, by close shaves like that's allowed us, with all the foundations we've put in place over the last 10 years, that yes, we got promoted out of step six last year. Yes, we've managed to finish sixth at step five and get to the Vars final, you know. So, you know, by a very close shave, we passed a ground inspection. And that's ultimately been the trigger to allow us to get to where we are this weekend.
I'm also a big believer that you make your own luck. But is there a lot of luck rather than judgment in running a successful club, or is it just that you just need a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, a lot of passion?
No, I don't think luck comes into it at all in regards to running a football club. It's all about vision and passion and being able to drive things through and getting people to believe in you. You know, yeah, luck comes into it when you're on your cup run. You know, we played Consett in the second qualifying round back in September, and we were in front for the last 3 seconds of the game. We were behind three times and won 4-3. You know, West Auckland, when we played them, absolutely fantastic game of football, could have gone either way. And with a little bit of luck, West Auckland had gone through, and we had a bit of luck, and we went through. And So luck comes into it there, but as far as driving a football club forward, I don't think luck's got anything to do with it. I think it's all about the firm foundations you put in place that are correct for your community, your environment, whatever you're trying to build, you know.
Well, it certainly sounds like you've got those things sorting out. And I mentioned your amazing run at the end of the season. Was it 6 wins in the last 7 league games and all of those were away from home?
I think so. It's all been a bit of a blur the last few weeks, to be fair. But yeah, we played well, you know. But you know, there was something for the lads to play for, to be fair. But they've got a lot of pride in their performances anyway. So it was no surprise that when they kept turning up 2 and 3 times a week and churning these results out, and we played well at times, really well, you know. But it's a credit to the squad and the management team that kept them focused and their own personal pride, because it would have been easy to switch off once they got to Wembley, but they didn't allow it to happen, you know. So fair play to them, you know.
Yeah, and when we spoke to you before, it was the semi-finals. You had record crowds for those. How many do you think Stockton are going to take to Wembley this weekend?
I think the ticket count, I think, is around the 4,000 mark.
Wow.
Yeah, we were maybe expecting one or two more, to be fair, but the difficulty we've got is the kick-off time's killing us with such a long journey. You can't get a train locally that'll guarantee you getting to Wembley in time on the morning of the game. So that means if you can only go on a day, you've got to get on a bus, and the buses are leaving at 5 a.m. So all them little things have stacked up against us, and then we've had the Middlesbrough effect. We've had lots of people saying to us, I'm sorry, I'm waiting to see if Middlesbrough get to Wembley in the playoffs because I can't afford to go twice in 6 days. And obviously, they've gone out, but it leaves no time at all for people to really sort of book up, you know. So it's been a difficult one for us, really. But, I mean, to get 4,000 there is brilliant. We can't wait. We're buzzing and everyone's going to have a fantastic day.
Well, we hope you just enjoy the day, and we wish you well in that final, and hope everybody has a safe journey and makes plenty of memories for years to come. Thanks as ever for joining us, Martin. It's been fantastic talking to you.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thanks for the time. Cheers now.
Now, I mentioned at the top of the show some of the managerial moves, and one of those affecting the non-league this week came from the two clubs relegated from the Football League into the National League. Now, I say the two clubs because Martin Allen, formerly of Barnet, relegated on the last game of the season, back to the National League, has taken the job as manager at fellow relegated side Chesterfield. And being an old friend of the show, he joins us on the line to tell us more. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening.
Now, you came so close at Barnet to keeping them up. It seemed to get some great stuff out of all the lads there. And I believe you were made an offer to stay there. But the offer from Chesterfield, was that just too tempting?
No, it wasn't one against the other. I shook hands with the chairman of Barnet. I had a 2-month contract there and that expired, or was about to expire. And I was kind of pleased with what we did, but I was obviously tinged with sadness to not stay up. And that did hurt. And then the next afternoon, there was a phone call from Chesterfield to ask if I'd be interested. So I went up to meet them on a Saturday morning, and it went on from there, really.
Yeah, and obviously you've been at Barnet a few times, and this obviously, you know, Knowing, comparing to the two clubs, I don't know Chesterfield as well as I know Barnet, but there's potential at Chesterfield, isn't there? And it's just a new challenge as well for you.
Yeah, that's right. I think that new challenge, and as you rightly say, it's quite a big club. They've got 5,000 people watching. They've got a very good stadium, excellent facilities. It's only 3 years ago they were challenging to get into the Championship, so we're in the playoffs. It's a big club. It's got a big fan base. It could get better and better, bigger and better. I don't say any of those comments in any disrespect of Barnet Football Club, because Barnet's also, in my mind, a big club and a great club.
Yeah, I think you've probably got Barnet through you like a stick of rock anyway, haven't you? Whatever, wherever you end up. But I mean, Chesterfield, it's a big town, but there are some other big clubs sort of fairly local, and they've been hitting form, certainly a few levels up. Do you think that's part of the problem, is that people begin to drift away and go and watch some of those rival teams?
No idea. They're still getting quite a big crowd from what I can see, even though they've been struggling. They've had back relegations, but they're still getting big crowds. They're very, very loyal, but obviously very, very unhappy. No one wants to see their club getting double relegation. So the reasons why that's happened, I'm not overly 100% sure, but in most cases, it normally comes down to poor player recruitment.
Now you've got great experience. You know League Two. You know the National League. You know, as well as anybody. What do you think the biggest difference is between those two divisions?
There isn't any. I can't see what everyone makes such a big fuss about. They're good coaches, good managers, good players. The stadiums are now all much, much better. Players are all much better, better organised clubs, well supported clubs. I think a lot of English football supporters started to turn their back a little bit on the Premier League and some of the bigger clubs that charge extortionate prices, and they play just possession football, which is at times quite boring in my opinion, and they're going to watch their local clubs now more and more, and rightly so. It's very exciting. There's no difference between the two divisions, nothing.
So you're in at Chesterfield this week. What's the plan? Have you got a target? Is it a sense of rebuilding, or are you going to work with the players you've got?
There's a lot of players still under contract. Just giving them an opportunity to go and play elsewhere. We do need to bring in some new, fresh players. There's no doubt about that. With any relegation, you've got to bring in new players. You've got to. You can't have everybody walking around with their shoulders slumped and their chins walking scraping along the ground. You've got to bring fresh energy into the place. But some of the players, unfortunately, even though they might be quite good players, will have to leave so we can try and rebuild and get a bigger budget to try and rebuild. And that is really the number one key area at the moment.
And is the target to try and bounce straight back, or is it consolidate and sort of get the club on the right footings?
At the moment, that's too early to say. The player recruitment over the next month is going to be crucial. The work I do now will be at the end of that next five or six weeks, we'll be able to sort of gauge where we're going to end up.
And I guess one last thing, because we often see this certainly on the message boards amongst non-league fans. A message to the Chesterfield fans about moving into non-league. It's not that bad, is it? It's actually a great place to be.
It's a great place to be. I said that earlier in the week. It's still a football match. You're still supporting your club that you love. It's probably lower than you want to be, but you can soon turn around, and we've seen with Sunderland, Premier League a couple of years ago, and now they're playing in Division 1. It can happen, and it does happen. It's not the only club that's had a sudden slump, and sooner or later this club's going to bounce back and get challenging higher up, just like Sunderland will. So it could be exciting times ahead, I reckon.
Well, with you there, Martin, it's always going to be exciting. always good to talk to you, and pleased to see you back in non-league. As much as we like to see you going up higher, it's non-league isn't the same without you. So it's good to talk to you, and hopefully we'll speak to you again next season.
Yeah, take care. Nice to speak to you always.
Well, hopefully, despite those a few techie problems we had, you've enjoyed the show this week. That is all we've got time for. Thank you as ever to all of our guests, and of course to everybody for listening. If you do get the chance, please do share it on social media. Let other people know about it, your fellow fans, friends and family. Don't forget, they can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put the podcast on your website via the embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Next week will probably be our last one of the season. A little roundup, a few little special bits and pieces, and hopefully some news over the summer about what we're up to next season. But we will be back, don't worry. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
AIBBAJABBA.